Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, I'll just say your name and your title at Workhouse.
Hi, my name is Joseph Wallen. I am the Director of Performing Arts at Workhouse Art Center.
Yes, and we are talking about your annual Haunted Trail. It's going to be running now through Halloween, October 31st. So, hey, thank you so much for joining us.
It's been my pleasure, and thanks for your interest. We've got a great trail this year. I know it's going to be really exciting. We've got a couple of new tricks that we're asking guests to come and play along with us.
Awesome.
This year's theme has a lot of puzzles and games and mysteries surrounding it. So our title this year is Haunted Trail Game Over.
Awesome. I want to dive into all that in just one second. But first, I just have a bigger picture question for you. I want to know how many years you've been doing the Haunted Trail there at Workhouse Art Center.
Sure. So the Haunted Trail was an initiative started by the Performing Arts Program in 2014. And so it's been running since. So this is our 10th season with the Haunted Trail at Workhouse Art Center.
So it's almost a decade now. So you kept it going during COVID because it was outdoors. So you kept it going?
Well, we did. In 2020 in particular, when most of the world was shut down, and of course, you know, being mindful of gathering, you know, restrictions and everything that we all had to do, we actually pivoted and made it a drive-through haunted trail.
Right.
So we monitor our performers and our techies who work on it. We created our own little, you know, COVID bubble kind of thing, and did a drive-through haunted trail, which sounds scary, but it was actually a lot of fun doing it in an innovative way.
Awesome. Yeah, I only asked because when I'm sitting here trying to say the pandemic ruined my ability to say the blank annual event, because there's so
sure.
Whenever I try to do the math, there was like a giant 3 or 4 year gap for places.
There's a
so,
gap, right?
So, but for you, I can definitely say this is the 10th annual.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
We did not stop. We kept going. We just
okay, great.
Did it,
so
did
this,
it in a different way. Yep.
Well, happy 10th birthday to
the
Haunted Trail. One more of overall big picture. Remind everyone where it's located in Lorton, and just sort of the idea that it was like a former prison, right?
Yeah, exactly. The Workhouse Art Center is located on the site of a former part of the DC prison system. So yes, we have, and the buildings there are close to 100 years old. So, in addition to a great place to celebrate Halloween, there's a lot of kind of history there, that goes back 100 years or so.
And you do different art exhibits and programs and stuff throughout the year in those buildings.
Right. So the primary focus of Workhouse Art Center is focused on visual arts and performing arts. We have about 100 visual artists that are associated with the campus. Some of them have studios on campus. Some of them teach classes. Some of them display in gallery spaces around the campus. And then the performing arts is also a big component of what we do, day in, day out. The Haunted Trail was started as a fundraising initiative out of the performing arts program, as sort of an extension of the performing arts program. And it's literally become a beast that's been bigger. And so it is something that covers the entire campus at this point.
Awesome. Well, thanks. Yeah, that's a good overview of what Workhouse Art Center does. It's such a cool idea to transform that space like you do throughout the year. But yeah, all right. So now let's do the deeper dive into the Haunted Trail. You said
great.
This year's theme is Haunt Game Over. So and the logo has almost like a witch's hand or a skeleton hand or something holding a chess piece. so yeah, I guess the idea is game over. It's games. And so yeah, explain sort of how that factors in this year.
Sure. So for us, because it is, the backbone of this event, it does come from performing arts. Rather than having, random folks, hiding and jumping out and scaring, and you move from this scene that's aliens and this scene that is, swamp creatures. What our approach with the Haunted Trail is we do it from a storytelling background. So we create a story, we create a character, we create a through line that helps inform our design process. And it also helps inform how we train our actors and how our performers understand the characters that they're helping to create. And we believe that by doing this, it helps create sort of a cohesive universe, a cohesive atmosphere that our guests, when they arrive, that they are immersed into this storyline that's happening, in progress.
So what is the storyline? What is the game-based theme? And obviously we don't want to spoil any specific
sure.
jump scares, but just in terms of like the narrative or even some of the maybe visual spaces they'll see, that won't ruin the actual fright. So I want to just set the stage of the visual, the landscape and the story.
Sure. So our backstory this year is a story about Evelyn Revenant and her two kids. They're twins. And they happen to be in London, 1955. They happen across a curiosity shop that's going out of business. It's been in business for hundreds of years. And there's a bin over at the corner that says, "Free, please take me." So Evelyn grabs a book out of the bin, and Evelyn discovers that it's written in some sort of code. And Evelyn is, like I said, she loves games. She loves puzzles. She loves a good mystery. She starts going through, seeing if she can decode the book, and she's able to. And it turns out that each chapter upon chapter is instructions on how to make a board game, how to make a kid's game, how to make the world's first video game, how to make the first sort of precursor to role-playing games like a, you know, Warcraft or a D&D type thing. So, and she invents all these games based on the inspiration from this book and becomes incredibly famous, incredibly wealthy. Every household all over the world has one of these board games or video games in their houses. She comes across the last chapter and she realizes that that one is not instructions for a game. So she stops. She says, "I'm not doing this." The twins, who at this point are spoiled rotten, and they're convinced that that last chapter is going to give them everything that they've ever wanted. They steal the book from mom. They translate the last chapter. And it turns out that it isn't a game at all. And in fact, what that does is that opens a portal to the underworld where all of these fantastical creatures and evil demonic things come into our world. And the way that they come into our world is through every copy of every board game, every video game, every one of these games that Evelyn has created and is now planted in everyone's homes all around the world. So that when our guests enter the story, they're entering in at the very moment that the chaos is ensuing and you know, all heck is breaking loose. So they're seeing some semi-familiar versions of games that we might have in our own homes.
Like what? Explain like chess or, yeah, explain like what some
yeah,
of those.
Yeah, well, there's...
Because we're a radio station. So yeah, name a couple visual touchstones for us.
Sure. So we've been very careful to stay away from, you know, actual intellectual properties.
Right. You can't be like, this is the Monopoly room.
Exactly. But there might be a room that, you know, has a rich uncle-like character as you're going through. There might be a room that has a sort of a mystery game with six colorful characters as you're going through, if you get that vibe. There's also an area that you walk through when you're going back into the woods and you're feeling that there's characters that are sometimes human, sometimes not human. And there's a lot of things that involve dice and maybe dice with multi sides to them, if you get that sort of idea.
I gotcha. And just for our purposes, are we allowed to even say which ones you're referencing?
Well, I've been careful
not
to.
It was Monopoly, and what was it? I don't know. Just so I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, if our guests walk away and they think like, "Hey, I kind of feel like that was Clue," or they walk away and they say, "Hey, I kind of feel like that was like a D&D area." That's fine if they have that takeaway. We're not saying that that's what it is.
Right.
But if they walk away and they feel like, "Hey, this kind of reminds me of this video game with falling blocks," okay, great.
That feels like Tetris.
Right. Yeah.
Well, thank you. Well, way to dance around it, my friend.
Yeah.
I love it. Cool. It's a cool idea. It's when I first read, you know, Game Over, I thought, I don't know, like Jigsaw and Saw, you know, do you want to play a game or something like that? But the more you describe it, it actually kind of sounds like a more a scarier, more like demonic version of Jumanji or something.
Yeah. That's not a bad
what's another reference? I don't know. I just thought, I guess a Ouija board. You know, there's different Halloween that are scary.
Yeah. And one other trick that we've done this year is because we do have this sort of game theme, you know, there's a riddle that we all say every Halloween when we walk around our neighborhoods and we say trick or treat. So we decided to incorporate that in part as part of the theme, as part of the story that's happening. So when guests are walking through the trail, there's a couple of places in the trail where they're asked, "Do you want a trick or do you want a treat?" Meaning, do you want to go to the left pathway or you want to go to the right pathway? And slightly different things will happen depending on which path you choose. And I can tell you, we're not handing out treats. Every choice is a bad choice. But the pathways are slightly different. So the guests do get to sort of feel like they are making choices in the game that they've been immersed into.
I love it. It sounds great. So how does it work? Like, sort of tell us in order, like the actionable information when our listeners, if they listen to this, they sound, that sounds cool. So when they arrive, explain sort of soup to nuts how it works. You know, they park, how many people per group gather? How long does it take to walk through? You know, like that kind of thing.
Okay, great. Yeah, we're encouraging everybody to purchase tickets online before arriving. The reason for that is we do timed entry slots and we have a limited amount of tickets available for each timed entry slot. So if you buy a ticket for, you know, 7 o'clock trail entry, you're going to go on the trail somewhere between 7 and 7:30. If you buy a ticket for 7:30 time slot, you're going to go on the trail sometime between 7:30 and 8. So we encourage folks to buy in advance, so that way they don't arrive and then are waiting in line for 2 hours. So that way they'll have a pretty good idea approximately what time they and their friends or their party will be going on the trail. When they arrive, they'll be trading their ticket that they purchased online for a colored wristband that matches their time slot. And then they can just hang out. And we have live bands in our large sort of waiting area. It's a large tented pavilion where we've got live bands most nights. We also have food trucks. We have a haunt bar set up that's got soft drinks, beer, wine, cocktails, and snacks and drinks. And once they arrive and they have their wristband, they're already waiting in line. And then when they say, okay, the blue group, it's time for you to go to the trail, you'll be dispatched to the trail.
And how many people folks, per group usually?
Yeah, we try to average it. Smaller is better. Smaller is more effectual. So we try to average about 6 to 8 guests per group.
Okay.
So if you're arriving with a group of 20 friends, you're probably going to get split into probably about 3 groups or so.
And there's no, just so everyone knows, like there's no performers, the people jumping out and scaring you or whatever. They don't make contact with you, right?
That's correct. And same thing, the converse is true. We don't allow our visitors to touch our performers. So this is on our website. There's a big, sort of a frequently asked question list of, you know, things that we want you to be able to do to have a great time, but things that we ask you also to do for your safety and for the safety of our performers.
Cool. And about how long does it take to move through the whole trail?
But usually it takes about 20 minutes or so, unless you're terrified and then you're running, you know, you're doing your 40 yard dash. It might take you, oh, I'm kidding. No, it takes about 20 minutes. Yeah.
We're going to clock your 40 time if you get scared by the chest piece.
That's right.
Okay, cool. You said 30 to 40?
No, about 20 minutes.
Oh, 20 minutes
or so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. 40 yard dash was just your joke.
Yeah,
okay. 40.
Right.
I was like, well, I heard 40. Okay. 20 to 30. All right. And how much does it cost?
It's $30 per person. And then if you have groups of 10 or more, there's an automatic 10% discount that happens once you make the purchase online. You can purchase at the door, but again, we do highly recommend advance purchase. So that way, you've got a good idea what time you and your party are actually going to be going on to the trail.
Okay, cool. But you can show up with a group of 10, but you don't have to. You could just come by yourself or you and a date for two people, and you'll just get put in with a group of other people. Okay.
Yes.
Gotcha. I'm trying to think of, is it all entirely outdoors, or do any things go through, like, you know, slight indoor spaces? Or most, is it just trail all the way, baby?
It's trail all the way. You do get up, we do go into the woods. There's woods that are on our property, so we do go into the woods. But the entirety of the trail is outdoors. Yes.
Great. Oh, and one other thing, of course, I can't believe I didn't even ask this yet. Like, how many people does it take to put this on? You know, all the different actors that you know, cast members that are playing this, or people designing it, you know, like how big of a team is involved in this?
So this year, our team, we have about 180 folks that have been working with us. And this is a combination of, you know, the creative team, the designers, the builders, the scare actors, the techies and support, all the front of house people, the, you know, the ticket takers, the bartenders, you know, all of those folks. Now, all 180 folks are not working every single night of the trail. Each night of the trail, we probably have about 80 people each night that make it happen. But the whole pool of folks who made this project happen this year, about 180 folks.
Wow. So 180, that's all the behind the scenes and creative people and the actors, everything. Okay. How about the scare actors? About how many, if one person goes to the trail, how many scare actors usually are there?
There's about 60 or so of scare actors on any given night, which is a pretty good amount. And the scare actors are given scenes that they're in, but they're also, we've grouped scenes into what we call neighborhoods. So the scare actors do have a little bit of opportunity to travel within their own neighborhood where their theming makes sense.
Gotcha.
You know, if they've got a great group coming through, then they are certainly allowed to follow them and, you know, keep the scares going.
Gotcha. And you might have already said this when I asked how long does it take to finish, but how many, you know, mileage wise, how is it, like a mile and a half? You know, how long is the trail in geographically?
Well, we did actually mark that out, and it's approximately a mile, just a little bit over a mile.
Okay, so you can get scared your maximum amount in a mile. Good luck,
That's right.
Folks. Good luck. Enter at your own risk. Or I don't know. We're trying to be spooky. cool. I have enough to work with. Is there anything else? Speak directly. Like, pretend I'm not here and you're talking directly to our listeners. You know, hey, D.C., Virginia. Well, let's say, hey, DMV, come on out. You're gonna have a scary good time.
Okay, great. Hey, DMV, please come down and check out the Workhouse Art Center Haunted Trail. This year, our theme is Game Over, and we wonder if you would like to come and play with us this year. Are you game enough? We've got a really, really great trail this year, lots of scares. And even if you're not a fan of haunted trails, and let's say your friends all want to come down and go on the haunted trail, and you just want to come and enjoy Halloween, you can certainly come down and enjoy the live bands, the food trucks, and the atmosphere. And that doesn't cost anything. So that's free of charge. So if you want to join your friends and hang out in the safety of our haunted pavilion without being scared, you're welcome to do that while your friends are going out onto the trail. One other thing that we'd like you to do is when you come down to the haunted trail this year, we are working with a group called Lorton Community Action Center, LCAC. They operate a food bank in our area, and we do ask you to bring canned goods, non-perishable food, and hygiene products, unopened hygiene products that will be passed along to the LCAC folks who will distribute those items to the folks in our community that are in need of those items.
Awesome. Well, this sounds great. Again, it's the Haunted Trail. It's called Haunt Game Over at the Workhouse Art Center in Lorton, Virginia. It's going to run now through Halloween, October 31st. And gates open at 6:30 p.m. On most Fridays and Saturdays and Sundays. I guess it opens at 6 on the final day on Halloween. So thanks for doing this. I really, really
My pleasure.
Appreciate it.